You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we continue our journey towards Christmas with the sermon Christmas Happiness versus Christmas Joy from Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through 11. Let's listen in.
When Barry read the scripture this morning, I'm sure some of you were thinking, was that the same scripture we had last week? And yes, it was. Keith and I discussed it. He had been planning ahead for his sermon last week. I've been planning ahead for mine, and we decided the same passage could work twice. I'm going to approach it from a little different perspective than he did. So I'm not copying him. But today I want to talk to you about the difference between Christmas happiness and Christmas joy. When you think about Christmas, Christmas morning especially, you probably think of a child opening presents, the excitement in their voice, the energy they have, and the happiness on their face. It's been a long time coming. They made a list. Now, when we were kids, we took the Sears and Roebuck catalog and marked the stuff we wanted. Nowadays, kids copy and paste links from the website and forward it to their parents or whatever, or tag them to it or something on the internet. But they made their list. They've been anxiously awaiting the day when they can open the presents. Maybe the gifts have been under the tree for a few weeks. They've been eyeing them, trying to figure out what they are. They've examined the shape, the size, and maybe even they picked them up and shook them. Sometimes you get a present and there isn't any Christmas happiness in the gift, though. I can remember one year in elementary school, we swapped names. Boys swapped with boys, and the girls swapped with the girls. The boy whose name I got him a dump truck. And when he opened it up, he was happy and excited. He took it out of the package, and he played with it with a smile on his face. All the other boys got toys of different kinds. The girls got things like baby dolls, nail polish or makeup, stuffed animals. You know, when I opened my gift, I had a pair of navy blue socks. There was no happiness in me. Have you ever tried to be happy about a pair of socks when everybody else was playing with a toy? So there was no happiness. I'm afraid that Christmas too often is more about making our children and family members happy than celebrating the joy of Christmas. You may be here, and maybe you're dealing with the death of a loved one who will not be here this Christmas. Or maybe you're battling a terrible illness, and that leaves you uncertain about the future. Maybe you lost your job, and you don't know where your house payment's coming from the first of the month, much less where Christmas presents are coming from. The list of trials and troubles is endless, and you may not see how it's possible to experience joy this Christmas. Well, there's a big difference between joy and happiness. No one is saying that you're supposed to be happy because of your situation. Happiness is tied to earthly things. Joy comes only from the Lord. And it's possible to have joy even during trying and difficult circumstances. So today I want us to look at the joy that came on that first Christmas and see how we can have joy today, no matter what our situation. If you have your Bibles open there to Luke chapter 2, just look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "But the angel said to them," talking about the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When the angels appeared to the shepherds were afraid, naturally. Here they were, out in a field at night. It's probably a dark evening. Remember, there are no street lights. There's not even any city lights in the distance. The only lights were the moon, the stars, and maybe a campfire. After a hard day of chasing off wild animals to protect their sheep, they were ready for a quiet evening. Getting something to eat, relaxing, maybe they were sharing with each other stories from the day of what had happened. Then all of a sudden, this angel appears in the sky with a message. Surely this was probably the first time that they had ever seen an angel. They must have been worried, surprised, and afraid all at the same time. They had never had to deal with anything like this before. The angel recognized the fear in the shepherds and replied to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The joy that came from the birth of Jesus was the joy that fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. The angels had said that the good news was for all the people. The joy that came on Christmas Day was not just for the shepherds. It was not just for all of those that were living in or visiting Bethlehem for the census. It was not just for all the people that were living on the earth that day. The joy that came at Christmas time applies to us today as well. We can experience Christmas joy because of the birth of the child. So our Christmas joy is from the birth of a child. We can have joy because of the birth of Jesus. Second thing, we can have joy because of salvation. Joy, because Jesus came that day, we have salvation. If you have your Bible open, turn back just a page or two to Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Luke 1, 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Well, she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. For when I but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to have a child. And she went to visit her relative Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the wife of one of the priests, Zechariah. Both Elizabeth and Zechariah were well advanced in years, and they had no children. This same angel Gabriel had appeared to Zechariah 6 months before he appeared to Mary and had told him that Elizabeth would have a child, that he and his wife would have a child. This child, of course, was John the Baptist. So as Mary enters Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary walks in and starts speaking, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped with joy inside of Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, "The child in my womb leaped for joy." And Elizabeth recognized the fact that Mary's child was going to be the Savior, not only her Savior, but the Savior of the world. There in verse 43, she said, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She recognized that Mary's baby was going to be her Lord, her Savior. But that same Savior is for everyone. At Christmas, I think we need to be sure we don't get so caught up in the birth of Christ that we forget about Calvary. The birth of Jesus was but one step in the process of bringing salvation to the earth. Without Calvary and the resurrection, salvation would not have come to the earth. Satan thought by killing Jesus, he would stop him from becoming the Messiah. Satan didn't realize that Calvary was all part of God's plan from the beginning. Satan was actually doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Maybe when we put up our manger scene, we ought to put a cross nearby somewhere. Not part of the manger scene, but nearby. Just to remind us of our salvation. To remind us of Calvary. At the cross, there was no happiness, except maybe the religious leaders. They thought by killing Christ that they had stopped his influence. They had killed off this radical movement that was a threat to everything that they knew to be right, to be true. To them, Jesus was just another rebel. There was much happiness among the religious leaders. Other people had come along and had started religious movements that threatened the Jewish way of life. However, when the leaders of those groups had died or were killed, the movement would die off. The movements had died off as well. Jesus, however, was different. His death was part of God's plan. There was no happiness in others at the cross. The thief on the cross recognized who Jesus was and recognized his own sin. Mary was there crying as John consoled her. The other disciples had fled in fear. If the story of Jesus had died with the cross, there would be no joy. So how do you find joy in the cross? We can understand joy at the birth of a child. We can understand joy of the birth of Jesus. But how do you find joy in the cross? It's because of Sunday that we can have joy. Friday was a dark day, but Sunday was coming. When I was a child, I used to go to Southern Baptist Convention with my parents. There was business that had to be conducted. There was reports from different Southern Baptist Convention agencies and seminaries, but the highlight of the convention every year was special music and the annual sermon. One year, an African-American pastor by the name of Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, yes, that was his real name, he preached his famous sermon, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." He talked about in that sermon how terrible things looked on that Friday that Jesus was crucified. And he goes through a long list of things that were so terrible. And he would say, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I encourage you to go home and Google that. Listen to his sermon. It's a powerful sermon. But what happened on Sunday? Look at Matthew 28, verses 5 to 8. And the Lord actually placed this on my heart this morning in my Bible reading time. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. The ladies have gone to the tomb. And the tomb is open. And the angel is sitting there on top of the stone. Matthew 28, verse 5 says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy and ran to tell his disciples. It's because of Sunday that we can have joy over the gift of salvation today. It's because Sunday happened that we can experience that joy of salvation. So we can have the joy of the birth of a child, of a Savior. We can have joy over the salvation that came on that Sunday morning when Christ was resurrected. But we can also have joy over His presence with us. Look down at the last verse of Matthew 28, Matthew 28, verse 20. Just the last half of that verse. Jesus, of course, is speaking to His disciples as He ascends back to heaven. And He says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus told His disciples that day that He would always be with them. Now, Jesus was speaking to His disciples, but the promise in that verse applies to us today just as much as it applied to the disciples that day. The presence of the Holy Spirit abides with Christians each and every day. I began this morning talking about the difference in Christmas happiness and Christmas joy, and how you may be dealing with things that make it very difficult this Christmas season. The fact that Jesus promised to be with us always can help you bring joy even in that situation. Whatever it may be that you are dealing with, you don't have to deal with that problem by yourself. You probably have Christian friends who you can confide in and ask them to pray with you and to be there for you. The Holy Spirit is always with us, but I fully believe that Christ used other Christians to help us as well. That's part of His plan. It's for others, for us to stand beside each other and to help each other. So whatever that difficulty that you're dealing with, whatever it is that is keeping you from celebrating Christmas like you have in the past, strive to give it to Jesus and see the joy that comes from the Savior's birth. Experience the joy of salvation that comes only through Jesus, and celebrate the joy of His presence in your life today. Just like Reverend Lockridge said, maybe you're at a place in your life where you feel like it's Friday. You understand exactly what Christ was feeling and what the disciples and Mary and your life is turned upside down right now. Everything's falling apart. Life's very hard. You don't know where to turn. But know that Sunday's coming. There is hope, and you can feel the joy of His presence in your life today. This joy in experiencing the presence of Jesus, though, isn't just for when things aren't going good, just when things are terrible. It's easy to realize that you need Jesus during difficult times. But maybe today you're here and you're at a place where most things in your life are pretty good. Nobody has a perfect life, of course, but things are pretty good. Your family members are all well and doing good, and you've been able to take some vacation time and relax and enjoy some time off. Your job's steady. It's providing a good income for you and your family. You seem to have everything under control. When life is good, we need to be careful that we don't slip in our walk with God, because it's very easy to feel like, I have everything under control. Our walk with God shouldn't be a fire extinguisher relationship. I'm afraid too often people use God or Jesus as a fire, like if we do a fire extinguisher. We keep Him handy in case we need Him in an emergency. We just don't use Him every day because we don't think we need Him every day. Then when one of those flare-ups or crisis come that I was talking about, we grab our fire extinguisher and we use it to get us through that problem. And then once we've used it to get through that problem, we kind of recharge it. We start praying a little more regular, and our attendance at Sunday school and worship gets a little more regular. We spend a little more time reading our Bible each day, and we grow closer to Him. And then when we kind of got it all recharged, then we start setting Him on the shelf or hanging Him on the wall until we need Him again. Challenge you today that we need to experience the joy of the presence of Jesus in our lives every day. It should be a daily thing that we thank the Lord for His presence in our life. We need to be walking with Him, seeking His will for our lives, striving to become more of what He wants us to become. Then when difficult times come, it'll be a natural thing for us to lean on Him and find joy in His presence in our life. Even in times of trouble, what a shame it would be to have a crisis and have to go hunting for your fire extinguisher. Where did we put it? Where is it? But if you know where it is and you keep it charged up and you, if we know where Christ is, if He's in our life, we know where our Bible is, we don't have to go find it. If we are daily walking with Him, then we don't have to worry about it. When that trouble or that crisis or whatever comes, it'll be a natural thing. He's always there. He's just waiting on us to call on Him. And we will be able to find joy in the presence of Christ in our lives, even in times of trouble. My favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs 18:10. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. In August 1982, I went to Southwestern Seminary. Single, living in the guy's dorm, but, you know. My tuition was paid. I took enough money with me to pay rent there. We paid rent monthly. It wasn't like in college where you pay one fee at the beginning of the year for your dorm for the whole year. You paid a monthly, just like a rent on an apartment or whatever. And so I had paid my first month's rent and tuition and started hunting a job. Well, the end of the first month rolled around and I was out of money and I hadn't found a job. And I called my dad and I said, I'm wondering if it was God's will for me to come to seminary. If it was His will, He'd provide a job for me and He would make things work. And I don't have money for rent. And so maybe I just need to come home and save up some more and pray and see what God's will is. Well, Dad, of course, encouraged me to stay on and sent me money for rent for the next month and told me to keep praying. And in my daily Bible reading time one day, that second month, that verse popped up. I'd read it before. I'd read it many times. But that day, it spoke to me. You've probably done the same thing. You find a verse of Scripture that just really speaks to you, and you go, I never saw that before. Even though I know I've read it, it just, in that day, in that situation, in that circumstance, it speaks to you. And it spoke to me that God was a strong tower, and I could run to Him, and I would be all right. I believe it was the same day. If it wasn't that day, it was the next one. But I found a job. Didn't require you to work on Sundays so I could go to church. I kept that same job throughout my years at seminary. You know? Since that time, I've faced some difficult times, of course. We all have. But I've hung on to that verse all these years. And Jesus has seen me through some difficult times. And he will see you through as well. He will be your strong tower. You can run to him and be safe. So today, I'm here to tell you, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never asked Christ to come into your heart and save you. Maybe you're here and you're going through one of these trials. Maybe you're here and things are good. You don't have any real complaints in your life or your family right now. Things are looking good. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference where you are, what stage in life, how old you are, how young you are, what difficulties or trials or whatever you may be dealing with. We can have joy today. Joy in the birth of Jesus. Joy in our salvation if you know him as Lord and Savior. And joy in his presence in our life. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you don't really fully understand the joy of salvation. And you don't understand the joy of the presence of his presence in your life. So is there a decision today that God is leading you to make? Is there a decision that he has spoken to you about? Christmas happiness comes, and it's okay to get up Christmas morning, enjoy gifts, and enjoy being together with family, and that's okay. I'm not saying that that's bad. But you know what? Sometimes those gifts aren't very good. Sometimes they don't fit. They have to be returned. Family goes home. Things return to normal. And you think to yourself, is that all there is to Christmas? You know? But I'm here today to say Christmas joy can go on the whole year. What about those other 11 months of the year? Is God speaking to your heart today? Maybe you need to refocus your Christmas celebration. I don't know. Maybe God's dealing in your heart that you need to accept him today. Whatever decision God may be speaking to you, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing hymn number 183, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Keith will be down here at the front. If there's some decision you need to make publicly, make that decision. Or call him, call me, come by, talk to us this week. But let's celebrate the joy of Christmas this year and not get so caught up in the happiness of Christmas.
Thank you for listening, and if you would like to know more about how you can have some of that Christmas joy that would last throughout the rest of the year, we would love to help you with that. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below, or you can find it on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue our journey towards Christmas.